think so.
All right. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you all for being here. First order of business for the new chair was delegate today's meeting to me as vice chair. So you have me today, the chair of meeting. So with that, I'd like to call the meeting to order. Let the minutes reflect that we called the meeting to order at 8:31. We do have a quorum in the meeting today. And with that, we'll go ahead and start off with Pledge of Allegiance. Bob, start us off here. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'd like to start off with welcoming a few guests that we have today. We have Philip Sherman with Adams and Reese, available by phone, over by Lacey. And then Miles Granderson with Sherman Strategies here as well, sitting over here in the corner. We will start off with approval of the absences for today. Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Let me start with the actual absentees. Jim Martin and Paula Polito will not be present for this meeting. Thank you, Billy. I'd like to get a second. Thank you, Bob. So with that, we will move on to all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. All right, motion passes. Approval of the minutes for December 18th, 2025. You should have received that in your packet earlier from Penny. Can I get a motion to accept the minutes?
Move.
All right, thank you, Michael. Second, Gene. All right, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. All right, with that, motion passes to accept the minutes as presented. Okay, we'll go next to public comments. Any public comments on the agenda items?
We don't have any public, but before we move into the unfinished business, I just wanted to mention Annalisa had the great idea of not bringing donuts and bringing bagels,
yes,
something not sweet after after all the king cake. So please help yourself to the bagel.
That was a great change after all the king cake we've had the last couple of weeks. So thank you.
There was one day we had five of them on the table in the lunchroom.
Too much.
Yes. Till next year. All right. Any other changes for the agenda before we move on? Okay. All right. Well, moving on, we'll go into unfinished and new business. Our first resolution is a resolution approving the form of and authorizing the execution of a lease agreement and agreement to issue bonds and any and all additional documents and certificates deemed necessary in connection with the granting of a favorable payment in lieu of tax arrangement and the potential issuance of not exceeding $40 million in aggregate principal amount of taxable and or tax-exempt revenue bonds of the Jefferson Parish Economic Development and Port District for the acquisition and improvement of a 350-unit affordable senior housing development located in Marrero, Louisiana, which is owned by Winhoven Owner LP, including its affiliates in Jefferson Parish, and proving for other matters with respect to the foregoing. I'll turn it over to Lacey.
And Lacey, before you start, just for everyone's benefit, these will be three separate items. It's three separate pilots, all related to the same portfolio of properties. So we're really only going into detail on one, but all three leases are substantially the same.
They are identical terms. The only difference would be the actual lessee and the project description, the project itself. So, excuse me, as Jerry just said, these are really grouped. It's because they are the affordable housing for seniors, those developments in Jefferson Parish that were part of the Catholic Archdiocese Christopher Holmes portfolio of affordable housing, that is part of the bankruptcy settlement. And we called this meeting, I know oftentimes we'll cancel the executive committee meeting when we have a full board meeting in the same month, but we're trying to keep this on track for the applicant and Miles Sherman, by the way, Miles Granderson with Sherman Strategies is here, and he serves as counsel for this company, the parent company, Treadway. They're closing in March on those properties and on the whole portfolio of properties, and so we're trying to time this up to be consistent with that. Excuse me. But again, this is the Christopher Homes portfolio that's 15 apartment complex throughout the greater New Orleans area. That's in St. Tammany, Orleans, St. John the Baptist, St. Bernard, and Jefferson. And they are seeking, Treadway is seeking, like terms across the whole GNO area of other pilots as well. please excuse my allergy. Anyway, Treadway was developed or established in 2021. They're based in New York City, and they are a developer and owner of affordable housing developments, and they have developments in several states. I hope you had a moment to when the packets were sent, to take a look at the company. They have a really interesting birth story and just their what they stand for, I guess. Treadway is creating three separate entities, and the first one is Weinhoven Owner LP. That's the resolution that Stephen has read out for us. But there's also Metairie Manor Owner LP, Metairie Manor 3 LP, all limited partnerships for the acquisition and improvement of affordable housing developments in Jefferson. And I'll hold here to show you this little table up top to look at the various projects. So Weinhoven is apartments 1 and 2 on 4600 10th Street, Barrero. If you are familiar with it, it's near the West Jefferson Center, CMC, and you can get a good view of them from the elevated expressway. It's two buildings, 350 units total, on about 6 acres of land. Estimated capital cost of $40 million. That includes the acquisition cost and the cost to renovate. And really, for all units across the Jefferson Parish affordable housing developments that are getting purchased by Treadway, they're estimating about $20,000 to $30,000 will be spent per unit to renovate. The second property is Metairie Manor 1, 2, and 4. On York Street in Metairie. In total, that's about 369 units. And then about 53 million as well in capital costs. Metairie Manor 3, which is obviously it's in that grouping, but it's being handled separately. And I'll explain that in a second. But anyway, that's about 82 unit building in Metairie as well. So these properties were established by the Archdiocese. So from their birth, they've been tax exempt because they've been owned by the Catholic Archdiocese of New Orleans. But they've never generated property tax revenue for Jefferson Parish. And they're pretty old. You see, there one was built in the late 60s and then in the 70s and the 80s, so they're probably due to I made a note about the Metairie Manor 3 and why that's being handled separately from the rest of the Metairie Manors 1, 2, and 4. And that's because there's the HUD contract on it now, the Project Rental Assistance contract, and it needs to convert to the Housing Assistance Payment Contract Program, which apparently takes about 18 months. So the Archdiocese will actually hold on to that property for 18 months or so. And then finally, the conveyance can happen to Treadway, or actually Metairie Manor 3 LP. And at that point, provided the pilot is approved by the Executive Committee and the Council, then it can be conveyed to JEDCO and then brought in and made subject to the lease agreement. But during the next 18 months, Treadway will actually serve as the operator of that facility. And so the applicant has requested the pilot leases for all three properties and the conveyance of those properties to be executed in March. Again, we're trying to time the pilot to align with that. But ultimately, they're seeking a pilot to so that they can maintain affordability restrictions for the seniors. And I should mention, all of these properties are fully occupied by senior citizens. And the intent is that they're not going to be displaced during renovation. It's similar to Westminster affordable housing that was brought before you guys too. The residents will, you know, stay in the communal areas of the building during the daytime, and then they can go back to their rooms at night to sleep. And that conversion process of renovation is estimated to be about 3 or 4 days.
Per unit?
Per unit.
Do you know what the estimated time frame is on getting it all completed?
I know that they'll start construction within 6 months of acquiring the facilities. Miles, do you have that information of how long the renovation?
Yeah, so you might want to look at it in like a couple of phases. So there'll be an initial one that'll get, a lot, all the sort of necessary stuff. So one, they're going to get entirely new appliances, you know, stainless steel Energy Star appliances. They'll get new, where needed, you might get like new countertops, you know, if there's the LED upgrades and the throttle. So there's certain things that we know are going to happen in the first, like immediately, first year, 18 months, you know, 2 years tops kind of thing. But some of that happens immediately, like the refrigerators, et cetera, right?
Okay.
Then there's other things that will be done dependent on the project. So part of this is we think about it as, because it's 15 complexes across 5 parishes, so they're kind of doing everything as needed. So some of these complexes are going to get, say, like a new 4 to 5 roof immediately. Some of them might have like 10 years left on the roof, and then when that roof happens, they'll get a new one or 5 years from now. So it's kind of two phases. One, there's a bunch of stuff that's going to happen in the first 24 months, and then there's stuff that'll happen over like a 5 to 10 year period on like an as needed basis. Generally speaking, the Archdiocese has not done a terrible job of keeping these properties up. Like, none of them are in terrible condition, but some of them are, there's a few in Orleans that are post-Katrina properties, relatively new. These obviously are not that, and so are gonna have some maintenance that's needed. There's a company called, an entity, Providence Community Housing, that's actually a partner in this as a nonprofit. Providence, since January of last year, the Archdiocese brought them in to operate and manage the property sort of like on an interim basis. And they do a lot in the metro area of managing sort of properties like this. So they're gonna stay on as the manager, and they're also gonna be a minority partner in the equity structure. But there's some things that they haven't really been able to do over this last, 14 months or so, 13 months, because it's been like a little bit of holding pattern. So as soon as this goes, all the things that are on their list will get knocked out.
Okay, all right, that's helpful, thank you.
Excuse me. So Treadway and the affiliated companies are working with HUD to extend the affordability restrictions and secure financing on each property for a period of 35 years. So they've asked for a 40-year pilot lease term, and I think this is probably the first time we've contemplated a 40-year pilot lease term. And again, I mentioned that they were aiming to have the same kind of agreements throughout all the whole portfolio, and apparently they have achieved and gotten that 40-year term from the other entity, economic development and housing entities and the other parishes.
Can I clarify that real quick, though? So the initial term, it looked like the initial term was going to be 20 years.
Yes.
I know the pilot committee added that we could potentially go up to another 20-year extension.
Yeah, with some conditions.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Yeah. So when you say 40 years, it's the first 20 years plus the ability to extend.
So, yeah, and for context there, the original request was for 40 years, a straight 40 years. The other four parishes that also have properties in their parishes have offered that 40-year abatement. We did not want to set that precedent.
Okay.
So that's why we asked and have come to an agreement that it would come back at 20 years, and we could have the option but you will see in there the whereas, where it does mention the other parishes are offering the 40 years, so that whoever's around this table, Michael said he may still be sitting around the table in 20 years, but whoever's sitting around the table at that time understands that the original intent was 40 years, but we wanted that 20-year review to be able to judge that.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and I'll review those conditions when we get to. Just have to be a couple little things I need to tell you before we jump to the major deal terms of the leases. One is that the developments will serve senior residents with an adjusted gross income at 80% or less of the area median income adjusted for family size. And I give an example. There's a chart here. That shows the low income limits, 80%, say for a family of two, that would be $57,500 maximum income for these residents. And that 80% or less criteria isn't unique. I know that's what the KHA encounter has their agreements with HUD for as well. So with the proposed pilot lease, it's providing essentially 100% property tax abatement on the land, buildings, and fixtures, and then the opportunity for a 40-year lease term, as Jerry was stating. So again, we're taking into the lease agreement the land, the buildings, and fixtures. We're excluding movable items that typically get self-reported to the assessor's office, so furniture, appliances, machinery, and equipment, and that's consistent with what we've done with other residential, both market rate and affordable housing pilots. So Jerry or Stephen had brought up the initial 20-year term, if you see here, and the tax abatement term, and that's right. This pilot lease as written will be up for an initial 20-year term, but in the 20th year, the applicant will come back to GEDCO and show us that some conditions have been met, with approval of the GEDCO board, full board or executive committee, they'll be able to get that additional 20-year term, which brings it to a total of 40 years, so A through I in the table. Are the conditions, the first six, I believe, are pertain to basically HUD compliance with the program and their performance against those programs. G would be if they have no new defaults under the terms of the pilot agreement. H is they'll have to certify that they're in good standing with the Secretary of State. That their operations in Jefferson Parish are in material compliance with all federal, state, and local laws, regulations, permits, and contracts, and they're in full compliance with all required payments of local property tax, which in this case would just be the movables, sales and use tax, and other related governmental fees and charges. And then this letter I is up to the board. Essentially, the board will have to find that the lessee has been in good standing during the term of the lease and good stewards to its residents. And the project will continue to support the community and align with the community values and needs. And if those conditions have been met, then the board will approve the contract, the lease agreement for an additional 20-year term. I mentioned tax abatement percentage gets 100%, but we are having them remit a $1 a year pilot rent, and that can be paid up front. And the pilot rent, as we do in the bulk of our pilot agreements, will go to the sheriff's office as a tax payment, essentially. Here's a part that I really will need to provide a little more explanation. It's estimated taxes abated. I researched, the Louisiana Tax Commission guidance on assessing affordable properties, And it will be discounted because it's based on the income, which is, this is restricted rental property. But to give you these initial annual amounts here, line item in $526,000, that's just using capital costs. So it's, you know, this is straight up capital cost. It doesn't take into consideration that the property will be affordable housing and offer restrictive rents. Currently, you'll see that it's $213,000 roughly annually in taxes are being abated under the ownership of the Archdiocese. So I think we'll see these numbers, these initial estimates that I've provided, come down once the assessor's office is made aware of the actual rents received, those amounts. And I did hope you noticed this asterisk here where I tried to explain that we can expect these rates to, or these taxes abated amounts to go down. There will be, reporting requirements of the lessees, which we do for all of our pilots. In particular, their project completion form, and what that does is it's submitted at the point of that first tranche of improvements that are being made over that 18-month, 24-month period. It will show us that, hey, they made these updates as they have promised to do, and they'll show the capital costs that they put into that to make that happen. And what that does also is it shows us that Jefferson Parish has issued its permit, it has reviewed the, evaluated the changes and approved them to be placed in service, essentially. So with that project completion form, they'll submit that certificate of completion that's issued by Jefferson Parish. And then an annual lessee report, again, that's required of all of our pilots, and this one in particular because it's affordable housing and has certain goals and compliance matters with HUD. They'll be reporting that AMI, so all their tenants, it will show where they fall within 80% of the income, annual income, 80% of the AMI or lower. That's what we want to see. And as well as the calculation of pilot savings for that year. And additional lease terms include, and again, these are in very consistent with what we've done for leases for affordable and market rate housing. So they need to maintain the property in decent, safe condition, sanitary condition. They'll have to carry certain insurance policies and where their name, JEDCO is additional insured and indemnified JEDCO as well. There are safety and maintenance provisions. There are restrictions on use. These are affordable housing for senior residents. They're not short-term rentals. They cannot be used as a hotel or extended stay. There are events of defaults and remedies that so JEDCO can take action if the lessees aren't meeting these terms. And then options to terminate, the lessees can at any point in time say, we don't want to be taxed and unwind the pilot, which we don't anticipate happening. And overall benefits to the parish, of course, we know we do know that this pilot and tax abatement is necessary for the applicants to continue providing these low affordable rents to senior citizens, and they can also to continue offering this resident services that the Archdiocese already has. I failed to mention in the beginning, I put before you a letter from the Archdiocese. I don't have it, but actually, no, I do have it here. Okay, thank you. The Archdiocese has selected this bid from Treadway. Evidently, this was not the highest bid. The Archdiocese reviewed the bids and thought that Treadway is the best equipped to carry forward the legacy of the Catholic Church in providing this quality, low, affordable housing to low-income seniors. And again, to continue offering those resident services and enhancing those over time. So the, and the Archdiocese, of course, knew that as taxable entities, they would be going out to those entities like JECO and other, the JECO's counterparts in these other parishes. And so they're in, have written their support of the fee minimum tax arrangement. So, yes, the benefits, well, these senior citizens will be able to stay in their homes, keep their homes, the rents will continue to be affordable. And then also other benefits that, you know, occur with these types of projects of legal, I'm sorry, these permitting fees in the parish, taxes, sales tax generated on construction materials that are taxable. Providence Community Housing, who is the operator currently and will continue to serve as operator. It's their employees that run the facility and they maintain, they will maintain those jobs to operate the facility. And then there'll be the creation of construction jobs or contractors that will facilitate the improvements of the property. And the Edge 2030 does have an emphasis on housing, as it has in the past, with past iterations of the Edge. And it calls for providing quality housing options at different price points in Paris. So we believe that this is consistent with that public policy. And the Pilot Advisory Committee, Michael, would you like to share these?
Sure. So we met last week and we went through this quite a lot of detail. And we asked quite a number of questions. I still have a couple of questions I want to put maybe on the record with Miles. But given that affordable senior housing is a priority, not just for JECO, but for the parish, and it's an important need, and given that the Archdiocese is not able to otherwise, but for this deal, the bankruptcy, the Archdiocese would continue to be owning these properties. It was the feeling of the committee that this was warranted, as we've done in the past, for affordable housing, that this is something that is, the pilot program is the type of thing that allows us to help a project like this happen where it would otherwise perhaps not happen. And along those lines, I just wanted, because I don't think we really went into the depth of clarity last week, but since last week I've talked to Miles, I want to just ask a couple of questions. First, you know, what's the contractual situation? You know, from our perspective, we want to make sure that we're not giving tax incentives to a private developer that's just taking profits, right? Like, this is basically a public purpose. And the question I had was, well, if we don't give a pilot, does the deal go forward anyway? And that sort of tells us a little bit about whether you know, we're just putting profits into the hands of a private developer versus providing an incentive that allows us to, that allows these properties to continue in their historical use, supporting our seniors. And you want to address that issue?
Yeah, so from the outset, the purchase agreement, one, the purchase agreement is actually for all 15 buildings across five parishes. It's not really broken down by property. But there are two key contingencies in that purchase agreement. One is that the existing HUD restriction contracts have to either be assigned or new contracts given.
Okay.
As an aside to that, Treadway, actually different than what you see from a lot of affordable housing developers or developers that get into affordable housing, Treadway's goal is actually to lock in as long as they possibly can. So they're not trying to do that, all right, let me lock in for 15 years, get this, and then sell it or flip it. Their goal is to lock in for as long as they possibly can with HUD. So that was one key contingency. That one's all good. The other key contingency was that they could get pilots for all 15 of the properties across five parishes. And so those are two key contingencies that are in there, both of which, you know, sort of, again, it hasn't closed yet, but both of which are still alive as contingencies. And it was understood, I think, from the outset, that in order to sort of competitively bid, that's what was going to be necessary. The whole project is $152 million bid purchase price for the 15 buildings combined. And then obviously, at the end of it, they will be doing these upgrades to bring the properties up to standard. The other part that's a little bit unique here is that because it's the Archdiocese, the level of services that are provided at these buildings are far beyond what you see at senior housing. You know, it's not maybe an assisted living level of services, but food, medical transportation, on-site services, all of that exists across this portfolio. So as coming in as a purchaser for Treadway, I think that's one of the things the Archdiocese recognized and that you see in that letter, is the Archdiocese didn't want to sell to somebody that was going to provide a lower level of services or just operate multifamily housing that happened to have affordable elderly citizens in it. So Treadway is committed to keeping that same level or better going forward, and that's part of why they were selected and part of what they're going to do. But no, in terms of the contingencies for your question, you have two key ones. Getting the HUD assignments or new contracts, so they are restricted by that. And then two is getting pilots. I'll also quickly mention, you know, Lacey mentioned the 80%, which is what's in the HUD contracts. But if you actually look at the reality of it, you know, most seniors aren't making a ton of money. So the reality of it actually tends to be substantially lower than the 80%.
So in that case, does the HUD requirements take precedent over any requirements we have in the pilot?
Well, so I think the way that we have it structured is, frankly, the requirements in the pilot, both here and the other parishes, are going to be the same or stricter than what we have with HUD. So there's not really going to be a problem where there's a conflict. There might be a situation where we have to go a step further to keep up with the JCO pilot agreement than we would with HUD, but there's not going to be a conflict where we, you know, have to violate one for the other.
Yeah, from the way I understand it is that the application to HUD for the HUD financing was a set of financials that was presumed the pilot was going to be granted.
Okay.
So if we deny the pilot, there's a high risk that they could potentially lose the financing, have to resubmit financials. And then, of course, contractually, the purchaser does have the ability to get out of the contract if we don't grant the pilot. So my perception is that there's a high risk that if we don't grant the pilot, that something else happens and the seniors may be disadvantaged because of it.
And
the other thing that we went into at the pilot meeting last week that I was concerned about was, okay, well, you create free cash flow by giving a tax incentive. Why are we doing that? And we got assurances from the developer that it was so that they could maintain these services.
Makes sense.
In context of HUD's loan, is there any assumability in the event Treadway at some point in the future says it's time to exit?
My reading of the contract is it is transferable. You do take the risk that they could sell their rights to another third party, who would also be bound by the obligations of the pilot similarly. So yes, there is a measure, I would say, of trust you have to have. That's where I guess the resume of this company comes into play. They're a long-term, in other markets, they are a long-term holder.
And we're referring to the JCO pilot agreement? Yeah, so what we see in actually all the JCO agreements, and actually all the ones that Adamson Reach does across the different pilot issuers, is the language that they put in there says that it's freely assignable. However, Treadway would remain primarily liable. Now, what I've seen happen, so this is not a JCO situation, this was IDB in New Orleans, where there was an assignment, and Adamson Reach and IDB supported removing the primary liability of the initial pilot recipient. However, in order to do so, they got a fresh look, so they could look back, see who the new, assignee was going to be, and decide, all right, is this somebody we're comfortable with taking on the primary liability and stepping into the shoes? They felt comfortable with that, and so they did that. But that's an opportunity that the board has when that happens.
So after
Lacey, wasn't that the case with Dyno Nobel when Dyno Nobel sold to CF? It transferred to CF, but Dyno is still principally responsible for that, the terms of that pilot. Yeah.
You can assign it, but you're ultimately still responsible for it.
Unless JETCO would choose to release them, but that's what Miles is saying.
Gotcha.
That triggers a fresh look on our part.
Okay.
to determine if we want to continue.
And the way that we've generally, and you know, Philip can correct me if I'm wrong, but the way that I've generally understood it when talking with Philip and David has been, look, if the next company coming in, if it makes sense to do this, we're not going to keep you liable for whatever. But if it doesn't, then yeah, you're liable. And two, again, as mentioned, Treadway's whole business model is buying these properties, keeping them for the long run, and doing them as long-term affordable housing for as long as humanly possible. So this actually is probably one of the scenarios where it's less likely to happen than maybe some other pilots. So yeah, their goal is to make this particular provision not a subject of practical concern.
Got it.
So after all of that diligence, which didn't end at the meeting, we had some more Q&A that occurred between that meeting and this. The pilot committee unanimously voted to recommend approval of this pilot. And I'll just add for anecdote that my father-in-law was a full-time volunteer at Winhoven, and my wife's grandmother lived her golden years at Metairie Manor. So, but and not that that's relevant, I mean, unless it's a conflict of interest. But, I think on behalf of the committee, we voted unanimously to approve this.
Gene, did you have a question?
I was just curious, considering the demographic of the tenants, I imagine the vast majority of the units are one-bedroom units.
Yeah, I think so. I had a question as well. Since affordability is a key point of granting this, how is it defined and measured? Like, what constitutes affordability?
So under the HUD agreements, it's typically what you see across the portfolio is one, it's 80% AMI or less is what they have. Now there is a little asterisk that, like let's say grandma starts, you know, a cookie business and then now she makes 83% AMI, the HUD agreements all say you can't kick grandma out.
So AMI, what is AMI?
Area median income. So if you take the average income, basically 80% AMI basically equals the 40th percentile or below. So that's the cap of what it can be. Again, unless grandma gets in at 60%, starts making good money on cookies and is up to 83. Otherwise, 80% is the cap. Again, because they're seniors, typically that number is actually, the real number's much lower than that. They don't actually have trouble hitting those. The other part is these agreements are across, they're slightly different language depending on which property we're talking about, but they typically say something like 80% AMI, you know, focused on elderly and or disabled persons.
Michael, any further comments on from the pilot committee?
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
I would just one other bit of context for executive committee, and I mentioned this at the pilot review committee, is these properties span two council districts, Councilman Bonanno on the West Bank and Councilman Liljeburg on the East Bank. I've discussed at length with both of them as well as with both at-large council members, and they, you know, they're on board. This would, after this approval, would go to the council for their ratification.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, we recommend to the executive committee approval of this of these pilot leases, and we'd ask that you take action on each one individually.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Michael. Thank you, Lacey, for the detailed review. Any other items for discussion or comments? All right.
So I hate to do this to you on your first meeting, but you can seek a motion for this, but we'll need to read these other two.
Each one.
Individually. So we'll take the, you can
it's
take the
practice.
First vote.
Yes, yes. I need my reading practice. Okay. All right. So hearing no other items for discussion or comment, I'd like to ask for a motion to proceed with the resolution approving the form and authorization of a lease agreement and an agreement to issue bonds on the property that will be owned by Winhoven owner LP.
So moved.
All right, Bob, thank you. Thank you, Gene. So with that, the motion passes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, well, now the motion officially passes. Thank you. All right, so we'll move on to the second item of business. I'll read this here, a resolution approving the form of and authorizing the execution of a lease agreement, an agreement to issue bonds, and any and all additional documents and certificates deemed necessary in connection with the granting of a favorable payment in lieu of tax arrangement and the potential issuance of not exceeding $53 million in aggregate principal amount of taxable and or tax-exempt revenue bonds of the Jefferson Parish Economic Development and Port District for the acquisition and improvement of a 369-unit affordable senior housing development located in Metairie, Louisiana, which is to be owned by Metairie Manor Owner LP, including its affiliates in Jefferson Parish, and providing for other matters with respect to the foregoing. On this,
Lacey, do you want to just explain that this is for the three, and what the Metairie Manor three would be, just so they know.
Each of these is a resolution which approves the form of the pilot lease agreement. But for Metairie Manor three, I think what Jerry is asking me for is as we would we could execute the lease as soon as. It's approved, but that leasehold estate won't be created until the property is conveyed to JECO, and that won't take place until 18 months down the road. But for these others, provided we get approval in March from the Jefferson Parish Council, we should be able to execute the conveyance for the others along with the pilot lease at the same time in March.
So this, yeah. The vote you'll take right now will be for Metairie Manor 1, 2, and 4, okay. And then the next vote will be for three, which can't be conveyed.
Yeah. Okay. Is that what you were asking?
No, that's fine. Yeah.
And so all the Jefferson Parish properties will be conveyed at the same time.
Except for three.
Except for three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quick question. When was the Jefferson Parish council meeting?
They had
February 25th written down, but.
Oh, no. It's, unfortunately, it is in March. March 18th.
They have one on the 25th.
Yeah, February. I think the March, that is the soonest. They
canceled. They canceled the 25th of February.
Oh.
No, they didn't.
Oh shoot! I'm sorry. That's why we called the executive.
Correct.
Sorry,
yes.
I'm losing it. it would be the 25th.
That was the reason for calling this meeting because it would have put us too late with getting this on the council agenda to get their approvals in place. So.
Sorry,
okay. All right. So I'll make a motion. We have a motion for
to accept the resolution.
Yeah.
We'll second.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Michael made the motion.
Myra second.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Myra. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. With that, the motion passes. Thank you. All right. The final resolution. It's a resolution approving the form of and authorizing the execution of a lease agreement and agreement to issue bonds and any and all additional documents and certificates deemed necessary in connection with the granting of a favorable payment in lieu of tax arrangement and the potential issuance of not exceeding $1.67 million in aggregate principal amount of taxable and or tax-exempt revenue bonds of the Jefferson Parish Economic Development and Port District for the acquisition and improvement of a 82-unit affordable senior housing development located in Metairie, Louisiana, which is to be owned by Metairie Manor 3 LP, including its affiliates in Jefferson Parish, and proving for other matters with respect to the foregoing. Any additional comments on this one? I think we've covered this previously. Any items for discussion or comment? Okay, with that, I'll ask for a motion to accept the resolution as written.
So moved.
All right, thank you, Gene.
I'll second.
Thank you, Billy, as a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, with that, the motion passes, and I believe that's the end of our business.
That's all the reading for you today.
All right, so with that, we'll move on to our President and CEO report, Jerry.
Well, I'm planning to, first of all, we'll get these over to the council today so that we can get these placed on the agenda for the 25th.
Thank you all for the consideration and approval.
Thank you.
Bye.
So I'll dispense with my normal report since we have the board, the full board meeting next week and the board retreat. But I do want to mention a few things. The board retreat, we will serve lunch, so plan on being here. We'll do a working lunch, but get you out pretty early. We'll probably start lunch around 11:30. Two of the things that we're planning to share with you, in addition to reviewing our strategic operating plan at the retreat like we do each year, we're going to have a presentation on the food incubator. And just to share officially some really good news on that front, and I've notified you all of this being impending. But while we were at Washington Mardi Gras, I had the opportunity to meet with Senator Cassidy, and while we were up there, they took the vote on the direct appropriations bill that included $3.65 million for our food and beverage incubator.
That's awesome.
So in conjunction with that, we're moving forward with the full-scale design as we originally intended, and that will be one of the things we'll share with you next week. We're kind of coming into focus with the design of the building. It's very, very attractive and starting to hone in on that, so that's exciting. In conjunction with that, we also have made a new hire. When Annalisa started the Strategic Initiatives Department, we sort of veered into some grants and things, new types of funding, as we also try and raise money for the food incubator and our Jefferson Edge investors and whatnot. We have hired an investor, more of an investor relations type position. So you'll have a presentation on that. You'll meet our new staff member in that area, and he'll give that update. We also are going to be hiring a facilities manager. Scott has been playing five or six roles for many years. You can usually hear him, his keys jingling as he comes around the hallway, but Scott is really, we're kind of getting him to focus on the future development of the park. The road construction has started. We have the food and beverage incubator design nearing completion. The hotel RFQ is out right now. So in order to take some of the daily maintenance stuff, which Scott just sort of happened to undertake over the years, we're going to be hiring a facilities coordinator to just handle facilities and the joys of owning your own building. For example, on Friday in broad daylight, a truck pulled up to our conference center and cut out a piece of our gutters, like a big piece of our gutter cans. And Scott has been spending days trying to track down through security cameras who cut out our gutters. And lo and behold, they were supposed to be working on the school, and the contractor pulled the gutters off the wrong building. So they're fabricating new gutters for us, and the company is very embarrassed by the mistake. But those are the things that just take Scott's time, and we need him. We want him to focus on the park now. So I wanted to mention that as well, and then finally wanted to. He's now been with us a couple of months, but because of scheduling and conferences and things, you haven't had a chance to meet him. But Carlos Garcia is one of our newer members of the team. He is on our business retention He's playing a business retention role in our HART department. I think Kate would vouch that he has hit the ground running and doing an incredible job. Carlos was with the Jefferson Chamber for many years. You may know him if you ran him to him in those circles. But we're pleased to have him. And I don't know if you want to introduce yourself or...
Good morning, everyone. I feel very blessed to be here. And I'm just really looking forward to all the accomplishments that we'll make together this year. So,
welcome, Carlos.
Very nice. Congratulations.
He is doing a great job, I have to tell you. He's off and running. So, good addition to the team.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming to Executive Committee. I can't remember the last time we called Executive Committee in the same month that we have a full board meeting, but it was necessitated by the calendar and trying to get these onto the council agenda so that they can stay within their timeline of closing on these properties. So I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. I echo that, too. Thank you guys for being here this morning, given the holiday week. All right, any other comments from the Board of Commissioners? Anything to share before we wrap up?
Well done.
All right, good. Not bad for pinch hitting, huh?
That's right.
Jim who?
Jim.
Yes, exactly. I like that. Exactly. All right, well, with that, we'll call the meeting for adjournment. I'd like to accept the motion to, all right. Thank you, Mara. A second by Gene. And with that, we're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Is the
GNO 8 lunch the same day as our...
Very nice to meet you.
Isn't that the 27th or did I write that down wrong?
It's the same day as what?
As our meeting next week.
Michael.
Am I looking at the wrong
No. The GNO Inc. annual luncheon is on Friday the 27th.
They got it.
Yeah.
Turf.
So I don't know if you have time.
I'm slow.
It's all right.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, I'm Mark Hall from that office.
Just curious to see what
Are you going to the GNO East lunch?
Steroids and stuff.
All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Accelerating.
The end of the story. Infection in response, or evasive response.
I saw that and it struck the chord because my wife last 2024, October 2024. This had gone on by that point, like almost 2 years, where we'd get up and go walk every morning, I'd walk the neighborhood. I'd catch her like drifting. Like I'm walking straight and she's running into me. And then it progressed. I would start catching her, like we'd be sitting in a restaurant and I'd see her like in her leg, like have a feeling in the leg. It went on for like a year, at least a year.
No pain, but just
no pain at all.
I kept asking to go to the doctor. I'm going to change my diet. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take these vitamins. Like,
those are the two, one of the self-medicated focus areas.
Or self-diagnosed. Areas, you know, that one doctor. Started going down all these guys. So finally, somebody was working on her house, like a contractor that she knew, and he said, you ought to go see this therapist. Maybe they could recommend some exercise. She went to the therapist. And the physical therapist started doing like a diagnostic test, and after the first one, he said, stop. Okay, so you need to go see a neurologist today. And he get you in today. She went to the neurologist. The neurologist said, you're going to get an MRI today.
Oh, I see, yes, we did.
The MRI came back, she was in surgery 2 days later. And it was a tumor that had almost completely pinched her spinal cord. Like, when she came back from neurosurgery, Dr. Singh, who was amazing, he's like, I expected to be very different when I saw the MRI. Just because,
we took part. It seemed like it was like, when it was
almost, it was like my favorite.
All right, Jerry.
All right. All's well. You had a good morning, bro.
Yeah, great morning.
Saw our friend yesterday.
Y'all stayed in
touch. Yeah? Where'd you see him at?
We left. It was great. I was like, and I love Morning Raw. It's just like, you have to be all in. Like, I'm not at the age where I can just, like, hey, let's go to the parade and go down and you find a report on that. I can't do that anymore.
I get it.
So if I'm not ready to fully commit, I'm just leave town.
Well, some friends of ours, they go all in. They stay for days. They'll rent out a parking lot.
Scott said he and his wife and a couple of couples, they pay some college kids. They pay some college kids. He's like, it's actually not bad when y'all are like, each couple threw in $1,500 and they bought him a nice chest full of beer. And the kids were fine, like, holding their spot all day. And so I'm just not that organized.
I hear you. It sounds like too much work. So it's like tagging on. All right, I have some resolutions.
You need a pen?
I got one.
Okay.
Black is fine, or do you sign a blue? Blue. Okay, I'll borrow yours.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
Our last retreat when I was
I'm
the vice chair. I'm standing in for Jim Martin. Yeah, very nice to meet you. Welcome. You're on a great team here.
Yes, I know.
It's a great organization.
What would be best is if you and I done.
All right.
Even like
you're dismissed.
I'm dismissed.
Even if we have a cheat sheet, like what is it? I'm using it for one.
But then,
okay, bye-bye.
All right, Myra. See ya. Have a good weekend.
So next week, Thursday, the 26th. The 26th.
Yes.
And then Friday is the June.
Uh-oh, there's more?
The three that we had approved.
Okay.
So y'all are funded through the Macy's tariff. Do you know, is it all the money going to you, or is it part of the?
I'm pretty sure the entire Macy's tariff is us. And then over time, we got other little buckets, and my understanding was that. What was the dealer on Suburban? There was a newish jewelry store in the last few years that. So I'm pretty sure the Diamonds Direct ended up, because they, it was as a new business, I think we were able to get.
We both baptized today.
I tell you.
Hear me out. Again.
Good job.
Thank you. Same to you.
Sure, we were able to get that. And then
I used to run in board meetings.
The old Toys R Us.
Yeah. I used to do this when I was at the hospital.
All right, sitting vacant.
Really?
And the whole
Which
thing
hospital
is,
were you at?
EJ.
Anything that like didn't really? Exist.
Okay.
I was there for 42 years.
Gotcha.
Those were the ones where we were like trying to see if we could.
Do you know what I've done?
Because I've done the best chance, as opposed to just thinking.
No,
I'm actually. I've spent my entire career in hospitals, and so I've been previously a CEO.
Which hospital?
For Ochsner Kenner.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So I am.
Ochsner, I'm not too familiar with people there. Actually, since I left EJ, I'm not. I don't know anybody anymore.
Well, previously I worked for HCA.
Okay.
Which was, you know,
yes, I do.
Lakeview,
correct.
And Tulane. And,
oh, yeah. You're safe.
So I had my start at Tulane. Okay, so this is.
It's one stack.
I'm trying to keep them organized.
And I probably got them out of order.
It's okay.
Let's see, I'm going to put the 53s.
Wow.
I don't know if he's really planning on.
Ooh, that's a tough one right there. Okay, interesting. So you're appointed by that.
Yeah, I'm just gonna try and keep them all.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep them all as well. I think what I did is I just grabbed them as.
Maybe nine of us?
Okay.
Bob gave them to me and got them mixed up.
Okay, and then I'm guessing other appointees are made by the council members or.
I don't know, because it's Hans' district, so it's Hans' district. So it's not like, I don't think that the. That says how they are, because I'm trying to think. Like, I honestly don't know where everybody else essentially is.
It would either be in the TIF district, the Jefferson Parish folder, or they may be an actual MVP folder. Okay, here's TIF districts, letters, Macy's.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Appreciate it.
One more? Okay, there we go. One more.
Okay, this is.
Anything that. Yes, I am super.
Oh, good.
Super supportive of that. And actually.
Oh, yeah. I have them all together.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Okay, and then I think we put the seal.
It's already done.
Oh, my
so,
goodness.
Thank you.
So,
but thanks for keeping me on track.
It's a well oiled machine around here.
You're already on that stuff.
I figured it's easy to do it before than after the fact, you know, especially since everybody has to sign, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And now it's in the.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome, Stephen. Appreciate your help.
But yeah, it's pain.
The
same to you.
All right, bye,
Lisa. Good to see you.
Thank you so much for stepping up today. Absolutely.
Is there some
myth?
Like,
for
this commercial development, but also.
That's a vibe. I am not telling my perception of it. And this is from being a business owner in there, and from growing up in the neighborhood, and
Agenda Dell